Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry that's here to encourage and inspire you every day. And today, we're continuing our series called Awesome Relationships. In it, Rick Warren shares practical ways to help you take your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and even God from ordinary to extraordinary. And this is a series you don't want to miss. Okay, now here's part two of a message called Fighting for an Awesome Marriage.
The third reason God created marriage, for the connection of men and women, for the multiplication of the human race. Third, for the protection of children. God invented marriage for the protection of children. We all know that kids grow better, healthier, stronger when they grow up in a stable family, when they grow up in a marriage with a mom and a dad. Now, why did God create marriage for the protection of children? Because when you were born completely helpless. You could not do anything. You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't dress yourself. You couldn't change your diaper. You couldn't blow your nose. Shoot, you couldn't even turn over on your back when you first started. You were literally totally helpless. God knew that human children needed a safe environment. And you were going to need somebody to feed you and dress you and nurture you. You were going to need somebody to protect you, to guide you, to train you, to care for you, and all these things. Now, I asked my researchers to go out and research all of the national and international studies on the effect of marriage or the lack of a marriage on children. And I asked them to find me all those studies. Here they are. Okay. These are not Christian studies. These are studies by Harvard, University and the United States government and the National Institute of Health. There's about 150 different studies. I want to read to you some of the statistics. Studies have shown that if children grow up without two parents, without a mom and dad, there's an increased risk that they are going to, A, fail in school. Kids without two parents are more likely to not graduate from college. Kids without two parents are more likely to be involved in substance or alcohol abuse. They're more likely to experience distress, depression, and the risk of suicide. They're more likely to do jail time. They're more likely to live their entire lives in poverty. And they're more likely to increase the risk that they themselves will divorce or will bear children outside of marriage. On the other hand, children who live with their own two parents growing up, statistically proven, enjoy better physical health than children living in any other family form. Now, I didn't say this. This is just what 150 or so studies have shown. How about women? Studies show that women who marry and stay married have lower rates of depression than either single women or mothers cohabitating with a guy that they're not married to. Women who marry and stay married have a lower risk of being a victim of a crime, have a lower risk of violence in their life. Women who marry and stay married have a higher net worth than those who are living with a man they're not married to. Isn't that interesting? How about men? Studies have shown that men who marry and stay married earn more money than single men with similar education, job histories, and men who marry and stay married live longer than single men. Men who marry and stay married amass more net worth than those who live with a woman and not being married to them. And men who marry and stay married have fewer injuries and illnesses. What's that saying? It's just saying something real simple. When you do it God's way, it works out better in your life. Now, every single study done has proven that kids develop best with a mom and a dad. Now, we're in a broken planet, broken world. Not everything works right. We know that. But that doesn't mean that we say the ideal isn't real. It is. And the statistics bear it out. Children survive and thrive in families, not in institutions. That's why at Saddleback, we don't believe in orphanages. We don't fund orphanages. We don't build orphanages. We don't believe in orphanages. Why? Because no kid deserves to grow up in an institution. They deserve to grow up in a family. It'd be more important to help finance a family to take that child in. Yeah, you can clap for that. And children's interests are best perfected in an intact family. Notice this verse, Proverbs 14:26. Those who obey and respect the Lord, in other words, do life the way God says to do it, those who obey and respect the Lord have a secure fortress. Their children have a place of refuge and security. That's what every child needs growing up, a place of refuge and security. And not worrying, is dad going to walk out? Is mom going to walk out? Or whatever. Now, you know, in the past, you used to hear about couples, they say, oh, they stayed together for the sake of the kids. And for many generations, when people stayed together for the sake of the kids, that was considered an honor, a compliment. They're unselfish. They're mature. They stayed together for the sake of the kids. Today, people laugh at that statement. Staying together for the sake of the kid. What are you talking about? You got to do what's best for you. Really? Do you always have to do what's best for you? That's called narcissism. Can you sometimes do something that's maybe best for somebody else? Can you sometimes do something that's best for somebody for the sake of someone who's more vulnerable than you are? That's called maturity. That's called unselfishness. That's called love. Today in our narcissistic culture, we judge everything by, I've got to do what's best for me. No, you don't. In fact, you'll never be happy trying to always do what's best for you. You'll be a selfish little clod, bitter. Clod, that's a pastor's cuss word. Number four. Okay, God created marriage for the connection of men and women, for the multiplication of the human race, it's how we all got here, for the protection of children. Number four, this is a big one. God created marriage for the perfection of our character. God created marriage for the perfection of our character. It is in relationships that we learn to be unselfish, we learn to be loving, and no relationship has greater impact on your life than marriage if you get married. Now, another one of the facts about when you were born, not only were you helpless, you were completely self-centered. Nothing on the planet Earth is more self-centered than a new baby. A baby does not even have the capacity to think about anyone else. All it can think about is itself. I'm too hot, I'm too cold, I'm hungry, I just pooped, I need to be cleaned up, or whatever. The first word a baby learns is, I! And it's all about me as a baby. Maturity and the purpose of life is to grow up and realize it's not all about you. In fact, the real happiness comes in giving your life away and being unselfish and being serving and being loving. And so the whole goal of your life is to grow from your total self-centered self as a baby to being an unselfish adult. Do you know some adults who are still selfish babies? Yes, you do. Don't look at them, but you know who they are. Now, this is called maturity. Life is a laboratory of learning how to love. Why is love the most important thing in life? Because God is love, and God wants you to become like Him. He wants you to learn how to love. And we learn to love and learn to be unselfish. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 18:1. It is selfish and it is stupid to think only of yourself. And so how do I get out of that? Well, marriage is a lifelong course in learning to be unselfish. Because once you get married, I can no longer think about me. I got to think about we. I can't think about just me, myself, and I. How many of you who are married had to learn pretty quickly that once you got married, you couldn't always do whatever you wanted to do? The rest of you are liars. Because you don't get to do everything you want to do once you get married. You have to learn to compromise. You have to learn to think of the other person. And marriage is the laboratory for learning how to love. Now listen. God wants to make you like Jesus Christ. It's the number one goal in his life. He wants you to grow up. He wants to build character. You're not taking your car, your career, your clothes to heaven. You are taking your character. So the most important thing you can do in life is build your character. The number one tool that God uses in your life to build Christ-like character, if you are married, is your spouse. Oh, no. Yep. Because every day you get hundreds of opportunities to not think about you. You get opportunities to think of the other person, to care about them. You say, but my spouse, my husband, my wife is not even a Christian. They're not a follower of Jesus. They're not a believer. Doesn't matter. They don't have to be saved. They're still God's number one tool to make you like Christ. Because they're closest to you. And they have that most impact. I want you to write this down in your outline. The number one purpose of marriage is to make me holy, not happy. That is so counterculture, but it's the truth. Now here's the interesting thing. Once you become holy, that's how you get happiness. Being holy makes you happy. But God's purpose in your life is to make you holy, not happy. And that's the purpose of God's marriage for your life. Is that you become more loving, more giving, more serving, more sharing, more mature, more unselfish. And as you become that, guess what? You get more happiness. You'll never be happy if you make it the goal of your life. Happiness is elusive as a goal. It's never meant to be a goal. It's like a butterfly. You're always reaching for it and you never get it. When you start caring about other people rather than your happiness, you're going to get happy. It's just the way God wired the universe. So God wants us to learn how to love in marriage. Romans 12 says this, love sincerely. Hold on to what is good. Be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect for each other. Do you do that in your marriage? Do you have a competition of who can show the most respect? I'm gonna beat you today in being more respectful to you. I'm gonna beat you today in being more loving. Excel in showing respect for each other. You know, before I got married so many years ago, I really thought I knew how to love a woman. I knew nothing about love. Nothing. Now, after 39 years of marriage, I know that love washes the dishes. I know that love takes out the garbage. Shoot, when you're sick, love changes the bedpan. And out of that kind of love comes a connection and a companionship that gives you the strength and the stability to handle enormous amounts of stress. When you know someone that well, and you're as committed to each other because of that reason. Number five, God made marriage for the connection of men and women, multiplication of human race, protection of children, the perfection of our character. God created marriage for the construction of society. Marriage is the fundamental building block of every community, church, state, nation, society, and culture. If you know anything about history, you know that where marriages are strong, cultures and nations are strong, empires are strong. You know that wherever marriages and families are weak, cultures, nations are in decline. And we know that when marriages are devalued, the more a nation is in decline. It's real obvious what direction our nation is headed right now. America's not getting better. It's not getting stronger. It's going the other direction. Why? Because we don't value marriage and family anymore. We value it's all about me. I got to do what's best for me. We've made individualism an idol. So this is for the construction of society. Proverbs 14:34 says this. Righteousness, that means doing it God's way, lifts up a nation. But sin, not doing it God's way, brings disgrace to any society. Number six, This is the most important reason of all, and many of you have never, ever even heard this reason for marriage. But it's the primary, the deepest, and the most profound reason that God created marriage between a man and a woman, and the unity of sex and all of that that involves. God created marriage for the reflection of our union with Christ. For the reflection of our union with Christ. Marriage is a metaphor. It is a symbol. It's a walking, living object lesson of how much God loves us and how we are to be in relationship with Him. Marriage is a model of a profound spiritual truth. I said it's a metaphor of showing us how we're to relate to God. Now let me show you one of the deepest passages in Scripture. And Paul is actually talking about the church and Christ, but he uses marriage as a metaphor. There on your outline, Ephesians chapter 5 says this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. How did Christ love the church? He sacrifices life. He died for the church. He says, husbands, that's the way you're to love your wife. You're to die for your wife. That's the kind of love you're to have. Sacrificial love, where her needs are so before yours that you sacrifice your life. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He, Christ, died so that he could give the church to himself as a bride in all her beauty. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as they love their own bodies. No one ever hates his own body, but he feeds it. He takes care of it. And that is what Christ does for his church, his body. See, the church is a bride and church is a body. Now, the scripture says, and he's quoting the verse in Genesis we just looked at, and the scripture says, a man is united with his wife, and the two become one body. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. You go, wait a minute, Paul. I thought you were talking about marriage here, husbands and wives. No, he says, yeah, I know I'm using marriage, but it's a metaphor of our spiritual union with Christ. And Christ and his love for his family, his body, his bride, the Christ, the church. So, he says, because marriage is a metaphor of Christ and the church, so each husband must love his wife as much as he loves himself, as he loves himself. And, it says, each wife must respect her husband. Now, that passage is so deep, I'm going to have to take a whole other message sometime and explain it in detail. But let me just say it this way. This is the most profound meaning of marriage. There's some benefits of marriage that are obvious and quantifiable, like these. What it does to kids, what it does to women, what it does to men. The benefits of an intact marriage for life are incontrovertible, irrefutable. And there are a lot of benefits to marriage that you can just look at, you know, empirically, judging the scientific data. But this one, the most profound meaning of marriage, is not as easy to grasp. It's harder to understand and appreciate how marriage reflects our union with Christ and our relationship to Him. Now, listen. No other relationship on planet Earth, none, including parent-child relationship, no other relationship can adequately illustrate our union with Christ the way a marriage between a man and a woman does. This is the strongest reason, this number six, why marriage matters. This is the strongest reason why marriage cannot be redefined. This is the strongest reason why it must be protected at all costs. Because we are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ in union with Christ. And marriage is that metaphor.
Thanks so much, Rick. What a great message today. Hey, if you've been listening to the broadcast for a while, well, you know that Rick is always saying that God wants your relationships to be more than just fair, average, good, or even great. He wants your relationships to be awesome, life-giving, filled with joy and purpose. And that's why he created the Awesome Relationships Bible Study. Through this 4-session video-based Bible study with workbook, you'll discover the tools you need to build an awesome marriage and family, awesome friendships, and most importantly, an awesome relationship with God. This resource is perfect for individual or group study. Be sure to request Pastor Rick's Awesome Relationships video-based Bible study when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.